Rizzo and Brian and Contreras and Baez. And then it's like, so we made some changes because things weren't great in the minor leagues.
Well, that's why the next names that you'll be excited about are the guys who come from the Braves or from wherever. These top prospects you're going to fall in love with all over again because that's your return for Bryant.
Interesting you bring it up because Baseball Prospectus just put out the Cubs top 10 prospect list.
Who we got? Nico
this
Horner?
This morning. Right, I'll give you your top 10, and then there's another list they always do with this. It's the top 10 talents under 25 in the organization.
Okay.
So I'll read you the list of 10 both ways. Nico Horner's number one. Miguel Amaya is number two.
People are genuinely excited about Amaya.
Can't hit. That's great defensive catcher. Maybe an average major league bat. Braylon Marquez, Brennan Davis, Adbert Alzolay, Cole Franklin, Pedro Martinez, not that one, Ryan Jensen, Christopher Morel, and Riley Thompson are your top 10 prospects in the organization.
All right, you promised me that you tell me how many of them are under 25.
Yeah, so here is your top talented players under the age of 25 in the org. This involves major league players, right? If you're under 25, you're eligible for this list. Remember when this list used to be populated by Cubs?
It was all Cubs.
Here's your top. Well, this is top 25 in the Cubs organization.
No, but I'm saying like the overall list was all Cubs.
Oh, that's true too. Here's your top 25 in the organization. Nico Horner, Miguel Amaya, Ian Happ, Braylon Marquez, Brennan Davis, Adbert Alzolay, Albert Almora, Cole Franklin, Pedro Martinez, Ryan Jensen. It's just the list of prospects. The Cubs on the major league roster under the age of 25 have Nico Horner, Ian Happ, Albert Almora, and maybe Adbert Alzolay in whatever innings they're giving to him in whatever situation.
If things stay the same, is Ian Happ your starting center fielder?
Looks that way now.
I think so.
Looks that way now.
So anyway, so all of that's going on.
We have to get Jason Hayward a bunch of new cleats.
Then there's all sorts of football stuff that's out there. Congratulations to Jimbo Cover for getting into the Hall of Fame. I think that the Bourbonnais thing is really interesting.
We took a call from, what was it, Mike, I think, or something, and he brought it up. It just would have been nice. It's where the league is going.
It was Dennis, I think, that said it would have been nice
to have one last go round for
yes.
the Bears to just say, "Hey,
we're doing this one more time.
Here it is. Let's kick it."
And apparently, they called the mayor of Bourbonnais, and like, "Yeah, so we're not coming back," and then put the statement out.
Whatever's in their contract,
it's going to be a very different experience for people, and I'm not sure that this is part of a bigger issue for me, but there is this default that keeps happening of the fan defaulting to the business side of it for the business. Mm. And it's like, well, this is obviously better for them. I mean, I'm all for it because it's better for them. And then there are the people that are selfishly like, well, it's closer to where I live. You're not going to training camp.
There'll be like 15 fans that go.
I hate to be the one to tell you this, but even with all of the renovations that have happened, they don't have the infrastructure up there in Lake Forest to give you the same type of fan experience. And the thing that I think sucks, I get it, and I agree that it is the trend in the NFL, and the Bears shouldn't have to move their entire operation and their medical operation and a weight room and all of that stuff 100 miles down the road. I get it. But there's so many people who never get to go to games that can't afford it, don't have the time for it. But in the summer, when their kids are out of school, they can make a practice and they can be 10 feet away from Allen Robinson or Akeem Hicks or Khalil Mack. And that experience is it's not going to be the same. So I hope that fans understand that there isn't some stadium in Lake Forest.
Right.
There's a building, and that building is at the end of a long, winding a business center. There's no place to park. Maybe they can bus you in from Lake Forest College or whatever, but
I don't know what the plan is, but they paid lip service to having some public component.
Limited.
Of this.
And that's the key word in the release, is that there's going to be limited tickets. And maybe it's an extra fan night at Soldier Field.
Yeah, here's what I think it is. I think it's going to allow their corporate partners X number of passes. I don't think these are just going to be available to the general public. I think what happens is I think what can happen is you can tell the truth by saying public, when you're saying, look, Wintrust or Miller or whoever it is, we're opening this practice. You can bring your vice presidents and their kids. And, you know, here's this and take a few pictures for 15 minutes. That's your public component.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670, The Score, a radio.com sports station. That is exactly what we were talking about in our show group chat last night, that this may now be something for the elites, that seeing a training camp practice will no longer belong to the people or the middle of the fan base, that it's only going to be people who have access already that are going to have access going forward.
It's going to be a value add, perhaps, for some of their sales packages.
So maybe.
It's literally inventory for them.
I agree. Gentlemen, have a wonderful rest of your day. That is Dan Bernstein and Connor McKnight. They are here every day from 9 a.m. until noon. I'm Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you from noon until 2. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves are hosting a teddy bear toss Saturday night. So bring bears or other stuffed animals to Allstate Arena to throw on the ice. All donations go to Facing Forward to End Homelessness. And this hour is being brought to you by the fine folks over at Team Hochberg. Visit their new website at 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
This is the sign-stealing part of the game that we just kind of accept that is allowed through baseball, taken to the zenith. And when there are no consequences for cheating the game, when it is kind of laughed at and kind of quaint, it's part of the quaint charm of baseball. Now you got some dudes that are inside the game that are like, oh, well, let's figure out a way to automate this. If we're all going to be habitual line steppers anyway, then let's extend the line. Let's extend how far we step out and let's now use the technology and then can kind of go, we should not have done. They're all Urkel.
Did I do that?
But we were already stealing signs, right? So what's wrong with me using the tech to steal signs?
Make me a bicycle clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 2 o'clock today. There's so much stuff for us to discuss. We got a couple of great guests on the show. Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network is slated to join us in this hour. Our buddy Jason Leisure is going to stop by. I have no idea what we're going to talk about, but it will be a lot of fun. Herb Lawrence and Rick Camp are here. You will hear their voices throughout the show. There's baseball stuff that's going crazy. There's news about people going to the Hall of Fame. Josh Donaldson's off the board. That opens things up. But we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, January 15th, 2020. Let's start with the Hawks, who had to rally from 2 goals down and got themselves a win. Oh, captain, my captain.
Hayes dance away from a check right to the forehand. He holds. The goalie's lost his stick. Taves still has it. He'll shoot one. He scores. Hawks win. Jonathan Taves. He had it. They couldn't get it away from him. 4 forever. And Taves figures in all 3 Blackhawks goals tonight. And it's a 3-2 OT GWG.
Yeah. That's a win for the Blackhawks. Congratulations to them in Major League Baseball. This is bad news for the White Sox. Josh Donaldson signs with the Twins.
A lot of the new umbrellas have buttons.
That's true, yes.
Line drive, left center field. Will we see it? That ball is gone. Check him out. There he goes around first. He's got the umbrella out.
The Maker of Rain, right? That's his nickname, Josh Donaldson.
Bringer of Rain.
Bringer of Rain. The bringer of rain.
Now I'll be the bringer of purple rain.
All right.
Minnesota.
I got it. We all got it. We just didn't like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like that he's with the Twins. you have a team that hit 307 home runs last year, and you're thinking that they would cut down on that a little bit. I mean, we were talking with Stoney last week. He was optimistic that that number will come down, and I'm sure it will come down from a major league record. But you added one of the premier free agents that was left and a guy with a lot of pop in his bat. I think the first 2 years of that deal are going to be great, and the last 2 years of that deal are going to be not so great. But it's 4 years, about $92 million. So it's bad for the White Sox, and it, depending on your point of view, it might be good for the Cubs because now you can have suitors for Chris Bryant if that is what you want to do, and you could trade Chris Bryant to restock your farm system in a hope of making you better. For the record, I am against trading Chris Bryant. But none of that can really happen until they find out what the arbitrator says about whether he's going to be a free agent after this season or he's going to be a free agent after next season. And that is still up in the air. Bruce Levine tweeted out that he thinks that there'll be a decision next week. But I feel like everyone has had a thought on, well, it's only going to be a couple more weeks now. And it hasn't been. It's been a long time since this grievance was filed. And you would think that a decision is forthcoming, but apparently it is not imminent yet. Speaking of baseballs and decisions being imminent, the Red Sox are like, Alex Cora, you got to go. You can't be here anymore because it's, I think now it's likely that he gets suspended longer than AJ Hinch and Jeff Lue now. I think that he's got some real taint on him. By the way, Alex Cora may have been too honest about why they were doing what they were doing. This is from the London series, right? And they were talking about the London series, and this is him talking about Carlos Beltran. And let me just tell you that when he mentioned Carlos Beltran, what you can't hear is him winking when he said it.
It wasn't a good weekend on the field. That's a good offensive team. We know that. They're a lot better than last year. The attention to detail is phenomenal. I was joking with somebody that their biggest free agent acquisition is Carlos Beltran.
Wink.
I know how he works, you know. He's helping a lot.
Yeah, I know how he works too. We all know now, and we all know what you were doing. But here's the thing. Beltran's going to stay manager of the Mets, and you got fired from your dream job.
Is he, though?
He is.
It brings way too much heat and too much questions when they report to Port St. Lucie in like 2 months, a month away from now.
I mean, if they fire him, they would have quite the issue on, because he's not being punished by Major League Baseball. Although he should be punished by Major League Baseball, he's not going to be. So Wayne Randazzo and him can have a fine conversation about all sorts of stuff. Moving on to basketball. So DePaul started out 12-1 in non-conference. And I was talking about how 10 is usually the magic number for me because that protects you from being bad in conference. That even if you're a 500 team, it puts you in a position, if you win one game in the conference tournament, you're at 19 wins, you have a decent resume, you can find yourself in the NCAA tournament. Well, here's the thing. DePaul hasn't won a conference game yet.
The second free throw. Let's see what happens.
He misses it. All we can do is rebound it and throw it.
Samuels hits the free throw. That's it. Villanova 79, DePaul 75. Moore half-court key. Misses. And a heartbreaking loss for the Blue Demons on the road at 14th-ranked Villanova. The Wildcats beat the Blue Demons 79-75.
Yeah, that was upsetting. Number 14 Villanova on the road. DePaul fought back, took them to overtime. They lost. They are now 0-4 in Big East play. And I'm starting to get that feeling again. That feeling that I need to go make cookies because I'm watching DePaul basketball and it's making me angry. So the mission's not accomplished yet. And for all those people that were like, rank DePaul, they have to win some games that they had a really good non-conference and I think a strong non-conference resume. You got to win in the Big East. And things don't get, isn't the next opponent Butler? Good luck. Good luck. It's upsetting. They are wasting Paul Reed's season. Paul Reed's one of the leading double-double guys in the country. Okay. All right. I'm going to stop talking about that because it's just going to make me mad. On to the NFL. This makes me a little sad. One of the best linebackers in the game, Luke Kuechly, decided that he's going to step away.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on.
It feels like we've been watching Luke Kuechly for forever. He's only 28 years old. He's had multiple concussions. A really great player. If you talk about the guys over the last 20 years in the middle of defenses, it's him, it's Urlacher, it's Patrick Bowman, London Fletcher Baker, just because longevity. But this guy playing in a similar defense did some amazing things that were comparable to the stuff that we saw Brian Urlacher do. I hope that he's okay. And if he wants to walk away from the game, I'm all for it. Get everything, get your chickens right, as Marshawn Lynch would say. Get all that stuff right. I felt horrible watching him. It's clear that it's upsetting to him to walk away from the game at this point in his career. But good luck to Luke Kuechly, and I hope that physically and mentally he's fine. Some good news. The Bears had two players announce that they were going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame because they're doing this 100 thing. So you end up getting a class from 100. Ed Sprinkle is going to be inducted. And Jimbo Covert, who has been waiting forever to get the call to Canton, it is most deserved. And I'm very happy that he's getting this honor. He talked with Mully and Haw about this, about how working and going against the greats in practice led to his greatness.
Richard Dent is, Richard Dent's one of the best guys I've ever played against. I play against him a lot in practice, but if I had to play against him in the game, which is a little bit different speed, I'd probably say he's the best. I mean, Dan Hampton. I mean, when I was a rookie, you know, I never saw a guy have so many pass rush moves in one pass rush, right? Because he was so good at it. You know, those guys, when I got there, were just, you know, exceptional, and Dan was one of them. Steve McMichael, I mean that whole line, and Mike Hartenstein and Jim Osborne and all those guys when I first came there, I mean, I learned a lot from playing against those guys every day.
Congratulations to Jimbo Covert. I thought I saw Mac tweet that because he and Jimbo go back a ways, that he's going to have him on the show this afternoon. So they're going to have another conversation with him. So you can listen to that on the McNeil and Parkins show. And the news that we were talking about a little while ago, the Bears announced yesterday that they will no longer have training camp down in Bourbonnais. They are moving training camp back to Hallis Hall, where it was in the late 70s and early 80s. They have done a ton of renovation on the property up there. So they're going to have their training camp there. That'll be their summer home, will be their winter home. I feel bad for the people of Bradley Bourbonnais, like that whole area down there. But I also realize that the stimulus to the economy over the last two decades has been good for them. They've been good part. Olivet Nazarene has been a really good partner to the Bears. It sucks. And I think that it's going to suck for Bears fans. I would love to be wrong about that, but I just don't see how they're going to make this work on the same scale that they were making it work down there. It's going to be difficult. It's something that we will talk about throughout the show. We're going to talk about the playoffs as well. Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network slated to join us next here on The Score.
This is 670 The Score, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station, period. Thanks for keeping us on top, Chicago.
Future traders, what's better than trading your own money? Trading someone else's money.